Did you miss the show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Yes,
this is Michael Gineau with Insight to Israel. And I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio, which Insight to Israel is brought to you by, for bringing the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America, the patriot conservatives that support Israel in her fight and struggle for sovereignty and security. Thank you, I don't always say their name, but thank you, gentlemen. It's because of you that America gets the truth about this great country. I also want to say a quick thank you to everyone that has contributed to Hershey's for Heroes. Just had a church in South Carolina. Guy I went to college with, Eric Branch. I want to say his name if he's listening. He deserves, he and his wife, they're amazing. Deserve the recognition. I want to say thank you for the 500. 500. Woo! Wow! 500 chocolate bars. And their whole church is going to sit and put notes on them, thanking the soldiers for defending the Jewish state. That's powerful.
Very powerful.
That is powerful. And that is a willingness to sacrifice your time, your money, your heart. That is what it's all about. That's what commitment's about. That is what commitment's about. In a day when men are fleeting when it comes to commitment, that is commitment. That's heart. So I want to say thank you to everyone. I actually just got another box yesterday. Over 100 chocolate bars. Jan Gore Turner, who's Jewish.
From where?
From Nashville, Tennessee.
Brilliant.
She wants to come home so bad. I said, Jan, you pack up the kids, the husband. I'll raise the money. I'll get you here. She said, Michael, the kids are in school and we have responsibilities. I get it. But God can make a way. Abraham, by faith, sojourned in a land that he knew not.
Took me from. We'll talk about it.
Exactly. So anyway, I want to say thank you to everyone who contributes to Hershey's for Heroes. The soldiers are, wow, what a morale boost. You can never know unless you go to the Facebook page, Hershey's for Heroes, and see the comments the soldiers make.
I saw them.
Amazing. I'll tell you, you talk about humbling when these young people fight every day. And anyway, thank you to everyone for that. Listen, we've got Batsion. Why am I getting this?
Saskin Sachs.
Batsy, wow, time number three, because everyone, my buddy Dave Moxley, where's Batsy at? Where's Batsy? How's she doing?
Hi, David. I'm here.
I want to thank you, Batsy, for being on the show again. Just finished up a show yesterday with Noam Bedin.
Oh, yes, of course.
Down in Sderot Media.
Road, yes.
And we did an interview on the road yesterday going from Sderot to Jerusalem, and it was a great interview. But with that being said, thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure. You're now being heard in Israel, in Europe, as well as the United States. It's exciting.
And very, very, very.
Who'd have thought back in March, you know?
Amazing.
And you were one of the first interviews.
Thank you. You're doing very well. I'm very proud of you, Michael.
So
great to be here with you.
So come closer so we can make sure we hear your voice.
Yes. Oh, there was a motorcycle that passed by.
And we're in the great town of Herzliya on a beautiful day. It's like 65 degrees out.
Beautiful.
Beautiful sunshine. And thank you for having me in your home, for giving me some coffee, and chocolate-covered Oreos.
Wow. Only in Israel.
Those are expensive here, too. My gosh.
With pleasure. With pleasure.
So, Batsy, listen, you, wow. I wish I had that book right here in my hand.
I'm going to get it for you.
I want to get it because I want to describe what I see.
Wonderful. Absolutely. Thank you. We can talk to them.
Yeah, a little coffee break. Wow. Mm, mm, mm.
Here we go.
No, that's awesome, awesome.
Here's the book.
Batsy, wow. On a wing from the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. Wow, this is a beautiful, the fragments of a life. Wow, this is amazing with the wing, the angel's wing, and the what is like a brass?
It's a stone, actually.
Stone? Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. So tell, I remember you were looking for someone to
publish it last time.
Publish it, but someone to do the proofreading, right?
Yeah, I found a lady here in Israel in Efrat. In Judea and Samaria,
nice.
An American.
Wow, I like the way you put that, Judea
yes,
and Samaria.
Yes, absolutely, because I'm fighting BDS. I'm
exactly.
supporting our brothers and sisters who are brave enough to go and live in the heartland of Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. She's American, and I needed a native speaker to do the editing for me, and she's done a great job, and she also worked side by side with the publisher. And I told you a long time ago about the book.
Yeah.
And, you know, it took me quite a few years to write it.
Would you say 10?
About
10?
Yes, altogether.
Yeah, everybody, we got other things to do sometimes. We got to break things up.
Yeah, well, it was a dream. It was a dream. Actually, my mother had the dream for me. She wanted me to write a book. And I actually dedicate the book to both my parents who were deceased.
Survived the Shoah,
the Shoah.
Holocaust.
I dedicate it. You can open the first, second page. Where is it? Where I write the dedication. You can read
wow,
it.
Wow.
To my parents and to those who did not survive the Shoah.
Wow.
Because it is their legacy that I feel the book carries over.
Right.
The book is a fiction, but it talks about the spiritual journey of a young Israeli Jewish woman, a daughter of two Shoah survivors. And you can also look at it as an allegory to the spiritual journey of the Jewish nation.
Right.
And the state of Israel, which was created from the wrecks and the shambles of the past. And
right.
Look what we have erected here, a tabernacle that's
65 years.
Amazing.
Amazing.
I'm so proud of this country and I'm so proud of my heritage, because I really think this heritage is what has given us the spiritual strength
right.
to overcome challenges. And this book is about overcoming challenges.
Right.
It's letting life go through you rather than by you. And I believe the Jewish people has never just said
there. Can you say that again? Because that
yes.
was good stuff.
Thank you. I said, the book is teaching people how to let life go through you rather than by you. Because isn't that what the Jewish people is all about doing?
You just added 5 years to my life. Wow. Wow.
Because Jewish people have taken their destiny into... I always distinguish between destiny and fate.
Right.
Fate, we all have the same fate. We're all going to be born...
And die.
And die.
And pay taxes.
Exactly. not have health care. But what we do between those two most important parts in our life, death, birth and death, is destiny. And destiny, I believe, is something you can help shape.
Right. Absolutely.
And if you decide to let life go through you. And that's the story of a young woman who let, like the Jewish people, seized every opportunity.
Right.
There was an opportunity to create a state. They created a state. There was an opportunity. There were opportunities in history to go improve their lives. They grasped them. They just let all the possessions remain. They moved elsewhere to bigger and better things. They have never turned themselves into the eternal refugees like some other groups that we know of have.
Right.
And that's what I'm filled with admiration to my people. And this is a story that needs to be shared.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. That's powerful stuff, because, you know, as you basically said, some folks sit around and all they do is complain. And I'm not a big fan of the Kennedys. I get tired of hearing about the Kennedy legacy. The guy was a philanderer, an adulterer, and a murderer. I don't care what he briefly did during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but my whole point in saying that is Kennedy made a statement, and I can't believe I'm quoting him. I'd rather quote Ronald Reagan, but he made a statement that said, and I'm probably not going to say it right, it's better to... I can't believe I'm not getting it right.
No.
I just heard it the other day. He talked about something to the effect that it's better to be a light than to sit and curse the darkness.
It's interesting. I've never heard it.
Yeah,
it's
something
yeah.
along those lines, but there's a very deep meaning behind it, because too many times we sit, hope, pray, and wait for opportunity to come our way instead of creating it for ourselves, using our own industrial energy, our own ingenuity in designing. And I have to say, look, as someone that's not Jewish, being around these people for over a year, it's giving me a stronger resolve to stand with them. Because, first of all, where else do I really see the hand of God anymore in the world? Not that in pockets God is not moving, but to actually see not just fulfilled prophecy from Isaiah, fulfillment in 1948, but to see everyday Israelis that I spend time with, and I look at them like, wow. Or I see a new creation, or I see humanitarian work done around the
just
world.
Just look around here, see all the growing and building, and the infrastructure is just...
It's amazing. When I meet Jews that come home, and I always ask that question, why did you come home? From all around the world, why did you come home? This is the place where I'm the safest. Even though you're surrounded by enemies, from within and without, but this is the place I feel the safest.
Yeah, I see my coming back here as a mission, really. It's... God, I believe in God very dearly, and I believe God instructed me to come back here. I lived, traveled the world, I visited many countries, lived in a few, have come to know many people, experienced a lot, and I thought, where in the world can I bring all this knowledge, all this experience, all this wisdom that I have acquired other than home, a place that needs it, could use it, and help continue the legacy that helped me get to where I am.
Wow.
Only here. Only here.
I think that's an indirect message to the diaspora.
But I still think there will be Jews always living in the diaspora.
Always.
And we have to respect that. Not everybody was meant to live. I had a very clever uncle. He said to me, look, God tried to put all the Jews, all the Israelites, all in one place. It didn't work. Then he exiled them to the diaspora. It didn't work. Now we have to give it another try. Some here and some in the diaspora. So we'll see how that experiment works out. It is an experiment because it is. But I think as long as there is a strong Israel,
right.
Jews in the diaspora have nothing to fear because that is not what my parents had. They didn't have that choice.
Right.
My maternal grandfather, after whom I'm named, lived in Poland. They were the only ones in their little hometown that had a radio. They heard Hitler's speeches every single night. And what did the wise man, the grandfather, said? Poland is a land of milk and honey. Actually, there was a time the Jews had it very good in Poland. And in Hebrew, we call it Polania. Polania literally means Po, here, Lan, slept, Ya, God. The Jews had it so good, they said, God must have slept here.
Wow.
This is what...
Wow.
But it's, in a way, it's a deceiving message we're giving to people.
Right.
It may be good, but it's only temporary.
Right.
Only temporary.
Right.
Because, you know, I remember when I lived in the UK, Jews were sitting and calculating. Every 350 years, there is an expulsion of Jews from the UK. And then they came back during Cromwell, okay? So they're thinking it's been 350 years since Cromwell. Are we facing a new expulsion or a need to leave the UK? You know, but now we have Israel.
I think so.
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. The way I see Europe is going, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
But, and I want to share with you something else because I just got back from Sweden, as I told you. And I also visited the Canary Islands, and I visited with the Jewish community there, and I wrote an article. I have a blog on Times of Israel. The writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. I don't think it's the people of those countries. Like Sweden, many people that I met on a one-to-one basis, and you see I'm wearing my Star of David.
Right.
I'm not afraid to tell anybody I'm from Israel, but... A lot of the times I met people on a one-to-one basis, I actually came across a very positive attitude towards Israel.
Right.
It was very heartwarming. But some of the people, there are some individuals who would hate Israel.
Unjustifiably, of course.
I don't know, because these people are not educated enough of what Israel is.
Let me ask you something. Let's stop there for a second. I have a problem with that word education, and I'll tell you why. half the 9/11, all the 9/11 hijackers were very highly educated. I'm going to tell you what, Botsy, it's a spirit. It's a wicked and evil spirit that covers, deludes the eyes of men that allow themselves to find themselves in that position. They willfully want to be in that position.
Well, I think it's education. If you educate people, to choose good versus evil, it is education. I'm a teacher.
Okay.
And as a teacher, I'm an optimist. Otherwise, I wouldn't have entered the profession where I believe in the goodness of human being deep inside. We all have the spark of God in us, that we were created in the image of God.
Right.
That's what it says in Genesis.
Right.
What is the image of God? Because none of us knows what God looks like. To me, it's that spark of goodness that is in us, that if we don't educate people and teach them and help them to bring it out, they will choose evil.
Right.
So if you teach people that they are good and that they have great potential, you will actually help them. It's a lot of hard work. So I don't think these people were educated. When we talk about education, you talk about formal education.
Okay.
I talk about education, wisdom, actually, more than education.
Okay.
The wisdom to choose. God has given us a choice.
Right.
Choose between good and evil. Unfortunately, evil is very tempting. With all the
men
rewards.
Men love darkness rather than light.
Exactly. So if you educate people to choose good, if you educate people to choose light and not evil and not darkness, the world could be a better place. And that's what I decided to become a teacher, because I believe in the inherent goodness, because we have that spark of God in us. That's what I'm. What is the image of God? Do you know what the image of God is? Nobody knows what God looks like.
Right.
But the image.
Moses saw his backside, but that was it.
That's not enough. I'm sorry. No, not enough.
Well, Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. But I know what you're saying, and I understand what you're saying about the wisdom. Look, it's amazing, 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 the ignorance, self-willed. I struggle. I honestly struggle with whether or not I should give that much leeway in a world full of information. I think that unless you have lost your moral compass, I think that spark is part of your moral compass.
Absolutely, I agree.
And, you know, I guess from what I've seen, and you know what, you're probably more compassionate than I am, but what I see out of the world and how the direction it's going in, and after working in politics, I'm like, okay, there's no excuse for this. There comes a time when you, like, for example, the release of the prisoners. And I've heard people say, you know, there's certain groups of people you need to educate. Well, I'm sorry, when I see death continued and no accountability, that's when the point of saying we just have to educate them stops for me, because instead we have to stand up to them, push back on them, and then if they choose to be educated after we are the threat is gone, then okay, you know.
Yeah.
It's a difficult thing for me, because you've seen a lot and these people have been through a lot and they cope with it.
Which people are you talking about?
The Jewish people, the Israelis.
The Israelis.
Having only seen injustice from afar, and then I come here and I see it tenfold, I'm like, it's frustrating, because it's like...
I know exactly what you're saying, because, you know, I lived in New Zealand, as you know, and it is so far away. New Zealand doesn't even have an army. It doesn't have an air force.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's nothing. I mean, it does. Maybe it has an army, but it's symbolic. When was the last time New Zealand fought a war? You know, some people don't even know where New Zealand is. They think it's part of Australia. This is how New Zealand is perceived in the world. But I remember I had my family lawyer, was a wonderful human being. But when it came to the crux of the issue, and there was the first intifada, I don't remember, maybe, or was some kind of a incursion into Gaza because they did something. And he said to me, "We don't like to see tanks in the street." I said, "Wait a minute. Did you stop to think why there are tanks in the street? You think Israel does it because it's fun?" Do you think we enjoy? They refuse. They only see the effect. And this is what I feel the world is lacking. When I talk about education, I also try to teach people that for everything, there is cause and effect.
Right.
The Arab media has specialized into deceiving the world to look only at the effect, 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 effect. I follow my news agency on Twitter, and I'm having a field trip every time, a field day or field trip, how do you say?
What is the news agency?
Ma'an News Agency. It's a Palestinian news agency.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And I'm enjoying responding to them. I'm surprised they haven't blocked me by now, but every time they talk, they write, like, a message comes out, and it says, Israel arrested three people in Ramallah or in some kind of a city. And I always write to them, oh, evil, wicked Israeli, just doing it again for absolutely no reason. You know, they're trying to give you the impression
right.
that we're just enjoying it. We're just doing it for the fun. We go out there and we arrest people for no reason whatsoever. And I ask these people at Man, have you ever heard of a sequence called cause and effect? Were you asleep during the lesson when a teacher taught you that? Because that's what people need to be aware of.
Right.
That if Israel bombs Gaza, it's because the day before or a few hours before, earlier to that, they shot missiles towards us.
Right.
Nobody would, no American president, no New Zealand president, no president anywhere in the world would allow his people to be constantly barraged the way we had sat there for years and allowed them to do it to us. That's the whole idea of having a sovereign nation.
Right.
We're supposed to protect the people. A person wants to know my country takes good for me.
Right.
I'll quote Kennedy again. Don't ask what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Absolutely.
We do. We serve in the army. We want the country to protect us. And that's what Israel is doing. It protects its citizens.
Yeah.
Look, we flew to Uganda in 1976 to protect our people.
Yeah.
What other country has done this for its citizens? Name one in the world.
But there's political prisoners from the United States.
Yeah.
We got one in Iran right now, a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
there's a Jewish one held by Al-Qaeda as well.
Wow.
And there's a Jewish one sitting in prison in America for spying,
yeah.
you know.
Pollard.
Yeah.
Pollard.
You know, I'm not justifying what he did. He spied, but let the punishment be in proportion to the crime.
Right.
You know,
right.
I read about, I know we're jumping from one subject to the other, but
okay.
They all have to do...
Some good stuff being put
with,
out there.
Yeah, because they all have to do with looking at life and trying to get the meaning of it.
Right.
Not just sitting there and think, why are these things happening to
right.
me? Think of what you do. Think of cause and effect. Think of, you know, grabbing opportunities in life. And we're just sitting there and letting life take its course without us putting our input into it.
Yeah, we're not using the rudder to guide the ship ourselves.
Absolutely.
And we have that power.
And that's the problem.
And, you know, I want to get off on Paul just for a second, because I was actually on a radio show in the States last week. And I said, look, you know what is amazing to me is the fact that we will never... ever, no matter how many people are killed, civilians are killed by terrorist attacks from Islam, you will never see a Muslim get the death penalty in the United States. You will never see it happen. It will enrage and inflame the Muslim world.
But do you think it's because he's a Muslim?
Absolutely. 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 I'll tell you why. Because there are men that go to jail and are given the death penalty for murdering one person, for, you know, anyone, basically anyone, murdering anyone, Ted Bundy,
yeah.
You know, we have, and yet we have these guys that plan. Some people are just insane and they murder, and okay, they deserve the same deal,
yeah,
the same death penalty, but when you scheme and plan and execute the deaths of thousands of people, and you're not executed... You know, knowing the way things are, my point is that they should definitely let Pollard free. They definitely should. And it's very sad that the government doesn't. But anyway, so moving forward,
mm-hmm.
So you just got back. Wow, you from a lovely trip. And
yeah.
It wasn't around the Milky Way either.
pretty much, yes. But, yeah.
Where did you, okay, I wouldn't even know where to begin to ask you, because I saw some pictures in Sweden.
Yes, and then in the Canary Islands.
And it
looked
very cold.
It's cold. It is cold in Sweden now, yes.
How'd you like that?
Well, I lived in cold weather. That doesn't bother me. It's just that, sorry, I met with some people that, members of the Jewish community there, I met with some people who are involved in Israel advocacy, and it was really heartwarming to see some support in a country where a lot of people perceive, and I told people that I'm going to Sweden with the Star of David, and I said, are you crazy? You should hide it. Why should anybody dictate to me who I am?
Absolutely.
You know, that's what I think that's part of the world, the problem of the Jewish world and of Israel. We're allowing others to dictate to us who we are.
The narrative.
You know, and the same thing, I was, you know, I'm reading a book called The Origin of Sorrow. I've been reading it for a long time. It's a very thick book. I'll show it to you in a minute. But I read it and I underline it because it's very important for me. It's about the ghetto in Frankfurt in the 1700s and the lives of the Jews in the ghetto. And there's one very important line there. You know, there was a wall erected around the ghetto.
Yeah.
And one young girl goes out of the ghetto by accident. She got lost. The guard sitting was away from his watch. And she was a young girl. And she got lost and her parents went looking for her. So she was really scared. And then eventually she came back. So her mother said to her, where have you been? Why didn't you come back? She said, Mother, the walls kept me out.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Which made me think about the situation of the Jewish communities around the world. Do we choose to stay inside the walls? Are the walls keeping us in? Or are the walls keeping us out, if you know what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's a very valid question. Because
absolutely.
Do Jews choose to be concentrated and away from the Gentiles? Or are the Gentiles forcing us to stay away from them? And it's a question that, you know, you can ask at any generation in the Jewish history, because it's a valid question throughout our history. The second place I went to was the Grand Canary Islands, island. And I met with members of the Jewish community there. And how long do we have for this
No,
segment?
We're fine. You got a minute and a half.
A minute and a half. Well, we'll continue it afterwards.
Can.
Finish.
Can.
The thing is, I went and I visited them, and it was wonderful to them until the Israeli-Arab conflict started to grow and grow and grow. And they, as Jews, even if they're not Zionists, which they are, but people just don't separate. People tell you they separate, but they do not. They accuse Jews of crimes that are unbelievable. And the Jewish community is forced to stay away, to hide their identity. The synagogue is an unmarked building. And
really?
Yes. Why would any... I want to be proud of who I am. I want my house of worship to bear a big Star of David, just like a church is wearing a crucifix, and just like a mosque is wearing the crescent.
Right.
Why can't I, as a Jew, be proud of who I am and bear it on my wear it on my sleeve?
Wow.
That's what bothers me. And I'll tell you more about it, because as a result of that visit, I ended up doing a lot of research.
Yeah, look, wow, Botsy, we always cover some great stuff. There's only like a handful of people that I really like, we get in and dig. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Thank you for everyone that listens. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gannot with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gannot.
Thank you. God bless Patriot Conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Botsy? Yeah. Always great. It is amazing. I love hanging out with you. You make some good coffee, too.
And thank you.
You have good cookies.
Thank you.
Last time we were at that other guy's place. Back in the
Jonathan's place, early in the summer.
Yeah, wow, that was a great time.
Yes, I remember that.
Wow.
With Iris, yes, that was funny. Yeah.
So, Botsy, listen, we were talking about the Grand Canary, and I'm shocked that you have to hide your identity.
They're very careful. They claim that they are paranoid, but I don't think it's paranoia because I asked them. If you ask somebody here what a Jew is, a definition of a Jew, do you know the answer that I got is, it's a person who kills Palestinian children.
That's insane.
Now, I'm telling you to take that, and then there are all these people who tell me, oh, we're only anti-Zionist, we're not anti-Semitic.
That's it.
A bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
They're one and the same. I've said it a million times, and I'll say it one more time. Anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism are one and the same. The anti-Semitic virus is a virus that mutates. It started as religious anti-Semitism by the church when they claimed the Jews killed Christ.
The Catholic Church.
Catholic Church, sorry. Then it evolved, it mutated into something else with the racial theories of the 18th century, 19th
right.
century. It became racial anti-Semitism.
Right.
The Jews have hooked noses, curly hair, whatever they look like. It's funny, when people look at me, they say, you don't look Jewish. I said, what am I supposed to have? The horns, the tail, the big nose? I don't understand what you mean by... Because you're in Israel now, you see. But that's not the point. The point is that it mutated even farther after the establishment of the State of Israel, and recently more so, it became political anti-Semitism in the form of anti-Zionism.
Yeah. Can I add something to that?
Yes, please.
I will tell you, and here's what a lot, again, it's about connecting the dots. We have groups. You ever heard of Margaret Sanger? Margaret Sanger started a big organization in the United States called Planned Parenthood.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah,
Margaret Sanger was she hated blacks, she hated Jews. She believed in, what's the term I can use? Anyway, about controlling the population. She didn't like the crippled. She didn't like the people that were mentally retarded. So what I'm saying is this falls under those same lines of who should and who shouldn't. And that as I stated earlier, there is a spirit of wickedness behind that mentality to murder children, to not have a love for those that are of lesser mental capacity or physical capacity. And that same thing is coming here, is showing itself in pockets in Israel through the terms of human rights and through abortion and things like that. I'm not trying to get off, but
the new Israel Fund.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's amazing to see something that disguises itself, just like you said, the mutation, and come under this guise of, you know, we must protect the it's my body, I do what I want. Well, first of all, your body belongs to God. So you should respect what God gave you. There's a whole other story behind that. But anyway, I wanted to connect all of that together.
Yes.
Because it's a leftist movement.
Oh, we all know that, yes. And I'm shocked at what I see here in Israel. Sometimes I say, what's Jewish about certain places like Tel Aviv?
Right. I agree.
Tell me what's Jewish about it.
I agree.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
I was on Josh Hasen's show yesterday.
Okay.
And I said, to stand with your brothers and sisters in Israel, come home. But leave your cultural corruption behind. Don't bring it to this God-blessed country.
You know, the leftists there are many of them, sit in Tel Aviv. It's a safe place. It's the center of the country.
Right.
You know.
You wouldn't see them in Judea and Samaria.
Yeah, I have a lot of respect for our brothers and sisters who live in Judea and Samaria,
amazing.
I must say, you know.
Yeah.
And true, I live not, but it's not my, destiny, I guess, to live there. I could make it my destiny. But I'm doing my service to my country and to my people in other ways.
Right.
I go around the world. I meet people. I have my blog on Times of Israel, which
I read it all the time.
And I wrote my novel, which is packed with Jewish history, packed with Jewish values. And I'm writing another book, and I'm going to write a third book. So, you know.
And we're going to talk about that here in a second. But what did you? What did it feel like for you? What did you say to these people when they, when they're in the Canary Islands?
Yes, I told them come to Israel.
Why would exactly?
Yeah, because you have to understand the history of Gran Canaria. It's not the first time there is a Jewish community. It's cyclical, okay?
Right.
The first Jewish community was established by those who escaped from Spain, you know, during the Inquisition.
Right.
There was a Jewish community that they had, the conversos, those who were forced to become Catholics or kicked out of the country eventually, and they moved to Gran Canaria because Jews are always looking for safe havens.
Right.
And the most recent wave of Jews came there mostly from North Africa, from Morocco, because Gran Canaria is near Africa, west of Morocco. And they came there for commercial reasons after the French and Italian colonial period ended, and they didn't want to stay under Muslim rule, or and they decided to move to Gran Canaria.
Yeah. But
I think the article that I wrote about them started, the title was the Jewish Community of Gran Canaria, What Now and Where To?
Wait a minute, who wrote this?
I wrote that.
You
article.
Wrote that?
That's the title of my article, the one I wrote about the Jewish community in Gran Canaria.
I guess my question is, do they have that much business there or money or investment that they would stay?
Well, it's dwindling. The community is dwindling. A lot of them are making aliyah. They're coming to Israel. Others are moving to South America. They just, I know.
You're waiting for another
Inquisition.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
And then
because that's what this, I'll tell you.
There was an Inquisition in Gran Canaria. 300 years it lasted in Gran Canaria.
Wow. Because that's what the background of this new pope is. He's a Marxist, straight up.
Well, I know nothing about him.
I've studied his background.
Yeah.
And they, you know, South and Central America are vibrant with Marxism and communism. And a lot of that is why a lot of the Germans fled to South America.
Oh, okay.
My point is that you would think it would be easier just to come to Israel than it would to go to South America. It's a short trip.
But let's be honest. Life is not easy here.
No, I agree. It's not.
But it's home.
Right. Say it again.
Life is not easy here, but it's home. You know, I lived in a few countries, and I could have maintained my easy lifestyle. But
and you don't look Jewish, so I'm sure you could have
get away with it. I should take my Star of David off. It discloses who I am. No, but you know exactly what I mean.
Right.
It's not. It's really.
Wow. Have these folks seen that article? Do you know?
Yes, they did, and now actually that's going to be the subject of my third book. I'm in the middle of writing my second book. Has to do something with Gran Canaria. So
wow. You know, Botsy, if those folks should be moved to come home, let us know.
Oh,
because
I'm in touch with them. Some of them, they speak very good Hebrew.
Yeah,
I published pictures on the article, pictures with them. I went to their services on Shabbat morning.
Wow,
interesting. One of the people that comes there regularly, like a clockwork, every Saturday before they even open the synagogue, he's already there. He's not a Jew. He's wearing a big Star of David, and he changed his name to Ben Abraham. I forgot his first name. He's wearing a big Star of David, and he comes there. He and his wife are coming there, and he believes that he's a descendant of conversos, Jews who were forced to become Catholic during the Inquisition.
Wow.
One of the people I met there, his late wife was a doctor, so she used to visit some remote areas in the island, and she said that she met their people, that every Friday, there were no Jews there where she went, but every Friday night they would light two candles, and they never understood why.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's a fascinating history. I did a lot of research. It's all in that article, my latest article on the Tablet
Israel
blog. I'll
make sure we put that with your...
Yeah, please do, because that's something that I was so touched by, that I made a commitment to those people that I will keep promoting their cause. And there's one woman there who has an amazing story to share, and we decided that I will write a book about it.
Yeah.
It will probably be a novel, but still, there is a lot that needs to be told, a lot that needs to be shared.
Right.
It's amazing. I'm discovering so many things, and I only then realize how little I know, because
right.
they say to me, oh, you know so much, but the more I know, the more I realize how little I know.
Right.
And I'm discovering, I'm telling you, God has really given me the opportunity to meet some amazing people. I'm very grateful every day of my life for the gift of life, because as I told you, both my parents are Shoah survivors, and they survived for a reason.
Right.
And I'm one of the reasons.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to waste that gift.
No, you shouldn't, Bossy, you shouldn't. So, okay, so we got this book here. Wow, this is, I have to say, I want to compliment.
Thank you.
I don't know who makes these decisions. I know that obviously you have a lot to do with it because you're paying for it.
That's true.
And we need to get this book paid off. And for no other reason besides reading it.
It got good reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, so, you know.
Yeah, so I'm looking through this, and the one thing that I love about it, it stood out to me, not just the front cover, which I think is, wow, you don't even have to, like, know what's inside. The picture and the way the wording, even the word wing,
yeah,
it's designed in spelling. It's I'm not going to say perfection, but close enough.
Thank you.
But you open this book up, and it's got nice, big writing, mm-hmm. which is easy on the eyes. And I believe that from my experience with you, I haven't read this book, but I'm going to.
Okay.
But from my experience with being around you for about a year now,
that's true.
I would say that I'm glad the writing's big, because I don't want to strain my eyes because I'll be too excited to turn to the next page. Because this, it looks beautiful.
Thank you.
And so your reviews, where are your reviews from so far?
There are three reviews in the book itself. People who read it before it was published. One is by Ruth King, who is an American writer. The second one is by Khaled Abu Toame, who is an Israeli Arab journalist and who is a winner of several awards.
Nice.
Very pro-Israel. He's a wonderful friend.
Nice.
And the third one is by a Swedish writer who is originally from Croatia. And she wrote a book. She's a writer herself. Her book was a bestseller in Sweden. It has a very interesting name. I Saved the Last Bullet for My Neighbor. That's the name of the book.
Wow. It's about the Bosnian, I don't know what that's about, but
it's about the Bosnian War, the civil war in Yugoslavia,
in the 90s.
Yugoslavia, yes.
Wow.
And this woman is Croatian, and she was married to a Muslim.
Wow.
And now she's married to a Swedish man, and that must have been a very interesting experience. I have not read her book because...
What was the name of that again?
The Last Bullet I Save for My Neighbors, or I Save the Last Bullet for My Neighbor.
Wow.
It was a bestseller in Sweden, and I'll be happy if mine sells half as much as hers did.
No, you know what? Batsy.
And there are two good reviews on Amazon, because it's a long book, so, and it was only released on December 3rd, a month ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's recent.
Wow.
So,
too bad I didn't do this interview before Christmas. We could have got some stocking stuffers.
Well, I don't know. That's okay. That's okay.
Of course, someone needs an awfully big sock for this.
But there are other occasions that people can buy themselves this book for. But what I'm saying is... there are already 2 5-star reviews on Amazon
nice,
on this
nice.
Book, so I'm excited.
Nice. Not surprising, yes. Bozzi,
well,
because the last two interviews that you did, I got quite a few email responses.
Oh, really? Thank you.
And folks said, wow, she did a great job.
Thank you.
And because you say a lot of things that Americans have, again, as an American, I've never had to face anything. And you... give us that refresher of what we need to hear and what this country goes through.
So, okay, here's my next question. We want to buy this book. What does the book usually run? What's the cost on the book?
Amazon runs it, I think, for like $24.
That's it?
Yes. And Barnes & Noble also... No, Amazon cheaper than Barnes & Noble, but... If people want to get an idea of what the book is about, of course they can go out to one of those websites and look at them and read the reviews. But I've also set up a website just for the book,
yeah.
And it's www.batzion.name, N-A-M-E,
okay.
All in small letters.
And we'll put that with...
Yeah, perfect. And that directs you... It will give you the reviews that people wrote about the book. It will give you a synopsis of the book. It will give you a background about me. It will also link you to Times of Israel blogs so people can read my articles
right,
there.
Yeah.
And other pieces that I wrote, of course, again, to educate people about this wonderful country and about my people and our history. And that book, I had done a lot of research when I wrote this book because my heroine, as I said, is really an allegory to the Jewish nation.
Right.
Jessica Kozlow, that's her name, is a woman who is going through trials and tribulations, just like the Jewish people, but is able to overcome them and win them, just like my Jewish people.
Right.
It's really interesting because... When I lived in America and I took a teaching certificate course in Texas, I had to be certified in Texas, not just Israel. I'm certified both in Israel and Texas. I had to take a course at the University of Houston called Race and Ethnicity something. Anyway, each one of us had to make a presentation about their culture. What I did... I took the music, the part played by Isaac Stern from Fiddler on the Roof, where the fiddler stands on the roof, and it's a very fragile reality, and I used it as an allegory to the history of the Jewish people. The music, if you ever listen to the opening music of Fiddler on the Roof, the music moves, it flows. There are times that are quiet, and I said these are when the Jews sat under their... whatever the verb is in Isaiah, they will sit under their...
They will sit under the willow, or the... I think it's called a weeping willow.
I don't remember the term in English, but I know it in Hebrew, of course. So there were times like this. Tachat gafno v'tachat einato, under his vine and under his fig.
Right.
Anyway... there were times we said, and then suddenly the music is like moving and rushing. And I said, these are the times of the pogroms. And then they culminate in the hope. You can almost see the hope growing out of that pain and suffering.
And the pogroms, explain that for the listener.
Pogroms are those events.
Pomegranates.
Pogroms.
Okay.
Are those events in Jewish history where the Gentiles unleash themselves at the Jews and plunder them and kill them just because of the whims of a leader, one leader or another.
Gotcha.
The
okay.
Jews were considered free.
I just learned something.
P-O-G-R-O-M. Pogroms.
Okay.
So those are... And through that music, I explained to my fellow students the Jewish history in a nutshell, and believe me, it's very difficult to describe the Jewish history in a nutshell, and I did it through that music, and that's what my heroine is doing through her journey in life. It's a fiction.
Right.
Of course, in every book, there is something of the writer, in every book. So yes, I've taken elements from my life. I wrote about places that I visited, but I took people's experiences and... together, amalgamated them,
wow.
And joined them together and created a story. But the story has a message. The story has a lesson to show people that good wins over bad, over evil.
Right.
That's the message I want people to get, not to lose hope.
Right.
I'm probably one of the most optimistic people that I know of, but, I have my moments. But I try to teach people it's a privilege we should all have, the privilege to be low. But don't make it a habit. Pull yourselves together,
right.
And go to the light. Go to the hope that is there, because there is hope.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because I was just on the bus over here.
Yeah.
Sat and talked to a guy from Baltimore who made Aliyah. And we were just talking about the way the world is. I said, you know what? I respect you. Thank you for coming home. And we were just got to talking about how the world is. And he said, oh, man, it just, you know what? He said, I understand if folks don't want to, if the Jews don't want to come here. It's a tough place, blah, blah, blah. You know what? Botsy, I just don't have any room. I believe in God too much.
Yeah.
That this is where, this is home.
Yeah, it is. For me, it is. You don't, you're preaching to the choir.
Right. My point is, I said to this guy, I was like, you know what? You're wearing a kippah. You're wearing a kippah. And you would think, where is the faith in God? So what if your enemies surround you? Work, fight, pray. Work, fight, pray. What has happened? You can make all the excuses, but my point being is that exactly with what you said, where is our... It's easy to go through the religious emotions. That's the easy part. So you keep kosher. Okay, when you do it for long enough, it becomes second nature. Mm-hmm. You know? The point is that where is our faith in God? Aside from us going through the religious rituals, we all do it. Christianity, they do it. Church on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, it becomes habit.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
I agree.
Where is it? There comes it, and obviously, even if people didn't know it, when they first settled this country, as far as even the Jews that were living here, who fought for their freedom. You lose hope if you don't have a real faith in truth, in God. So I guess that's my point. I'm glad that you made that point because it's about having faith in God and trusting Him.
And, you know, first of all, also have faith in yourself. We say in Hebrew,
right.
God helps those that help themselves.
Right.
And I think the Jewish people is probably one of the most optimistic nation in the world. We have to be optimistic. Look, for 2,000 years, we're waiting for a Messiah to come, and
right.
We're still waiting.
Right, right.
You know? And we really never, we always, if you ever ask a Jew, how are you? They say, it will be okay. That's how, you probably see them around in Israel, or let it not be worse, or something like that. So, you know, if hope and optimism is intrinsic in our culture.
Right.
And but it's not just that. You have to work hard for it. You really
right.
have to do good. And I believe that it's, okay, it's my faith, it's my tradition. There are certain things that I do. I light candles every Friday night. But I'm not strict about kashrut. I
right.
don't keep kosher, and I don't observe the Shabbat in a very strict way. But
it's about loving God.
I don't know if it's about loving God. It's about loving what God wants you to love,
right.
and that's truth, honesty, doing good,
right.
helping the poor, helping those who need.
I'm with you.
You know, I'm talking, I always talk to Israelis and I say, okay, so you're a Jew, to a man, okay, part of your Jewish tradition is because you're circumcised, so you have, I said, what about circumcising your heart?
Wow. Say it again.
Circumcising your heart. But it's not my word. It's taken from
right.
from the Tanakh.
Absolutely.
And what I mean by circumcising your heart is do good. Remove all evil from your heart and
right.
do only good.
Right.
And that is, again, good will eventually prevail. And again, that's the message from On a Wing from the Holy Land. And the wing is a very central motive in my life because I've been traveling the world.
Right.
And
flying around.
The wings of the Shekhinah, you know, the Shekinah, you call it probably, the Spirit
can,
of God.
Can.
The wings. Wings are very important for me, and that's a perfect name. And if you want to know why I chose that name, you're going to have to read the book.
Need to read the book. I'll tell you what, Botsy. this is good stuff. I mean, and great picture on the back, by the
Thank
way.
Thank you.
That's great stuff.
Thank you.
And I think folks ought to take the time, if you want to add to your library, quality.
Or even somebody said to me today, it looks like a book that you could put on your coffee table because it's not the pocket size.
Right. No, absolutely. And you don't want to set your coffee on it. But, you know, the problem, you know what? Reading is a lost art form today. Books, to own a book is something that is falling by the wayside. That you can look at, that you can make notes in. That's what I do in all my books. I write notes, my thoughts.
I'll show you. I do too.
Yeah.
It's very important.
You can always go back to it. It is very important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And someone else may be able to glean something from what you write in there, your thoughts.
I just quoted a book that I was reading, you know, The Ghetto about Frankfurt. You know, it's fantastic. I read my books with a pen and a highlighter, always.
Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do, Botcha. I keep calling you. I'm thinking of my Jewish sister. We're going to make sure that this gets posted, all of the information gets posted properly. We want folks to go to your website. Tell me your website again.
www.batzion.com/Zion.
Zion, if you're speaking in English.
Yes. .name. N-A-M-E. All in lowercase. And there they can get the information on my book and other pieces that I write.
Now, what if they wanted to... Now, you came out with another book, though, right?
No, I'm writing now
You're writing one.
Yes.
Your next book. You won't give us any hint of the...
No, it's not anything... No, it's not anything like this. It's more... it's again, it's about Israel, but it's not as heavily... It took me many years to write this book because there's a lot of research that went into it.
Right.
And it covered a century of events, so... this one is more focused on one particular family, an Israeli Jewish family, and its history, and you know, some of the reality in Israel, in everyday life of Israel.
Yeah.
So, but it's not so much Jewish.
A book like that, what would be? I'm not a writer. I'd do good to sit down at a desk and
read it or write notes.
Yeah. What is it? What's the time frame it takes you to write a book like that? Do you give yourself a deadline?
This one, I didn't. You know, I started and I stopped and I started and I stopped. But this one, I've decided to focus on, and I'm hoping that within 6 months it will be ready for publication.
Well, let me say this about this book here that I'm holding: On a Wing from the Holy Land, Fragments of a Life. One thing I've learned. Is that out of persistence is born perfection. And knowing you, Botsy, this is going to be good stuff. So, what else do you have planned? Do you have any more trips coming up that we can keep up with you on your Times of Israel blog?
Yeah. Well, I think the next article I want to write for Times of Israel, and I've started working on it, is called, it's about the attitudes towards Israel that I encountered in Sweden, and trying to change that belief that all Swedes hate Israel,
right.
And that Israel is resented in Sweden, because I did see some pockets of bright light, and I want to highlight them. I want people to be aware that, yes, There is hope when we can still work on it and expand it and really educate people about Israel. So
right.
Working with people in Sweden. But I also want to make another trip to Gran Canaria and visit this lady that I told you she wants me to write a book about her father. I'm not going to disclose now what it is,
right.
But it's a fascinating story. It has to do with Israel and the Jewish people and recent history of the Jewish nation. So, in the state of Israel. So, keeping busy and
nice.
Out of mischief.
Nice. Good. Okay. Hey, Botsy, we've got 30 seconds. What do you want to tell the folks in the United States of America and in Europe that are listening?
Well, thank you very much for listening, and it's always a pleasure to speak to you, Michael.
It's great to have you.
I enjoy every interview, every meeting we have. And thank you most of all, Michael, for all the great work you're doing to support Israel, the work you're doing for the soldiers. I've read the reviews, some of the soldiers. I saw the letters, the handwritten letters that people wrote that you published. And thanks to all our friends all over the world, people who understand what Israel is all about.